We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Good morning, Miss Pugh.
Mr. Hancock, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Pun?
I always knew you were a despicable, ill-bred brute.
Miss Pugh, Griselda...
Don't come near me. I've got my hand on the phone. I'll call the police.
What are you talking about?
You fiend. Men like you ought to be locked up.
I agree, but not without knowing why.
You're not going to deny it.
I am, mate. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll deny it like a shot.
Despicable to the end, and you in the public eye. What chance is there for the younger generation looking up to a rat like you?
I am not a rat.
At least I thought you might face up to it like a man. Take what's coming to you.
You'll take what's coming to you in a minute.
That's right. Go on, throw it. Throw it. What a follow-up. What a sequel. Same man strikes secretary with daffodil bowl.
Oh, this is ludicrous.
Do you mind?
Bad enough with her without you chipping in, mate. Where are we? Oh, this is ludicrous. Calm down and tell me, what is it I'm supposed to have done?
You're a menace to respectable people. You're low life, that's what you are. The lowest of the low, worse than an animal. There isn't a person on this earth who could condone what you've done. No one who could have anything but the utmost contempt for you.
Hiya, Tub. Congratulations.
No one but Mr. Kerr, of course.
Ah, you dog, Tub. You're a sly one, you are. I didn't think you had it in you, Tub. I'm proud of you, boy. I didn't think you went in for that sort of thing.
Look, don't you start.
I thought you were the serious type, the stay-at-home. I thought you were only interested in tropical fish breeding.
Oh, no, not all the time. I do have other outlets.
You're telling me.
I mean, I have been known to get quite worked up over cheese labels.
What a cover-up, cheese labels. Why didn't you tell me, Tub? I mean, a doll like that, we could have got together. We could have had a ball. I know a bit of brass works down the pickle factory. Money in the bank. Ooh-hoo.
Stop nudging me in the ribs. A bit of brass works down at the pickle factory. It's charming.
Oh, come now. Don't pretend you're not interested. I can read.
Ah, wait a minute. I'm beginning to see some light. From what I deduce from Mistress Purity here, it's something she's read. And from what I can gain from dissipated Harry here... From what I can gain from him, they have connected my name with a lady. You've read something about me and a bird, haven't you?
Don't pretend you're surprised. Oh, look at this air of injured innocence, you viper.
Yeah, come off it, Tub. Everybody's talking about it. So what? With a doll like that, you should be pleased. I don't know how you do it. Who is she? Where'd you meet her?
Hold on. I know nothing about this whatsoever. Look, apparently everybody in the country knows what I've done except me. Perhaps if I could be allowed the pleasure of reading the piece in question, I might know where I am.
You mean you haven't read the article?
No. I've been down to the public library and read all the newspapers. There was nothing in there about me. But there never is. Not even in the Cheam Bugle.
Grizzly, have you got a copy of the magazine?
I have, and very nauseating it is, too.
And where is it? Let me have a look.
There.
Oh, yes. Oh, very high-class literature, this. The January edition of Blabbermouth. Read what the stars get up to in their spare time. How can you read muck like this?
I only read it. You are in it.
I am not in it. How can I be in this? I've never done anything they'd be interested in. Nothing that I'd be ashamed to let my mother know about.
You are in it, Tub.
Oh, where?
Page 9.
I don't believe it. Now, where are we?
Errol Flynn, page 4 and 5. Victor Mature, page 6. Diana Dawes, page 7.
Tony Hancock, page 9.
10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. See, this is ridiculous. I couldn't do all this. Must be somebody else.
I suppose that photograph is of someone else, too.
Yes, of course it is. No, it's not. It's me. She's right. It's me. What was Tony Hancock doing under the table with a cigarette girl at the Bag of Nuts?
That's what we'd all like to know.
I know you would, but this is fantastic. I've never been to the Bag of Nuts. I don't even know where it is. Yeah, I've never seen that girl in my life.
That's why she's sitting on your lap, nibbling your left ear, I suppose.
My left ear has not been nibbled since the dog had a go at it. This photograph is a fake. She's been superimposed on my lap. This is criminal libel.
Oh, don't pretend. You are obviously drunk at the time. Look at your expression.
We've all got slack face muscles. No, wait a minute, wait a minute. I always look like that. Unfortunate quirk of the Hancock family. I recognize that photograph of me now, and I was not drunk. That was a press photo taken of me after I battled my way through a cordon of angry theatre-goers outside the Glasgow Empire. They've got hold of it, put in a nightclub background, and shoved in a picture of this girl sitting on my lap. Easily done, it happens all the time. It's like when you see little ballet dancers prancing about in wine glasses on television. It's a trick. You don't believe I do anything like this?
Yes. Disgusting.
I notice that you've got 84 editions of this rag in your office. All of them thumbed over with great relish. Dog-eared and stuck together with sticky tape. Box of chocolates and half a dozen of these, you're well away, aren't you? Lapping it up. You're all the same, you sort. You love it.
Don't think I read them for enjoyment. A girl's got to know what's going on. She's got to know what sort of men are walking about.
Yes, and you're only sorry you haven't met any of them. I got you sorted out, don't you worry.
How'd you do it, Tub? A good-looking doll like this? I got to hand it to you. How'd you manage it?
For the last time, I was not at the Bag of Nuts under the table with a cigarette girl.
Then how do you account for page 17?
17? 17. Oh, this is ridiculous. Mabel the cigarette girl tells all. I was one of Loverboy Hancock's victims. I mean, let's face it, what girl in her right mind would fancy being one of my victims?
You never know. Some women prefer ugly men.
Thank you. You're very kind. This is a pack of lies.
Oh, boy, I wish I could get hold of a girl like that. I wish I knew how you do it, Tub.
Will you be quiet? It is not true. Mabel tells all.
It's all here. I am the daughter of a North Country tram driver. And I was a simple, home-loving girl until I came down to the big city and fell under the spell of Tony Hancock. He dazzled me with his promises of how to get me into films. He swept me off my young, innocent feet with his suave, romantic, devil-may-care technique, his worldly-wise charm, his debonair, man-about-town conversation. He plied me with champagne in Soho night spots. What defense did I, a sweet, naive country girl, have against this cultured West End lounge lizard?
What a lot of rubbish. Me, a debonair man about town, a romantic lounge lizard. I mean, look at me. That's enough. That's enough. Pretty rough lot here tonight, man. Look at me, I think I'm going it a bit when I walk into a saloon bar. And cultured. Up until last week, I always thought Handel's Lager was a brand of light ale.
She then goes into more details.
Show me. Let's have a look at this try. He invited me back to his luxury Mayfair flat. That's this place. 2.5 rooms of distempered rubbish. Mayfair. He then proceeded... Who, me? Ha, 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 never. Never. I wouldn't have dreamt of it. She's got imagination, I'll give her that. I say, this is a bit naughty. I'm a bit of a boy here, aren't I? I deny every word of it, unfortunately.
I wish I knew how you do it, Tub.
You will have the benefit of the gas poker right across your nose in a minute. I tell you, I have not trifled with any tram driver's daughter, and what's more, I intend to prove it. I shall establish my innocence once and for all.
How?
I shall sue this magazine for libel and defamation of character.
There's no smoke without fire.
You're enjoying this, aren't you? You love a bit of scandal down at the mother's meeting. Yep, 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 yep. Be the centre of attraction. Of course, I know him, you know. It's all true. The things I could tell you. And I will. Piling it on there, Bluebeard, Dorian Gray. He sold his soul, you know. He's 90, really. There's a painting of him up in the attic that keeps changing. Well, I'm not going to let him get away with this. I intend to defend my fair name in the courts if necessary.
Do you think that's wise? You're a national figure. You don't want to wash your dirty linen in public. They may drag out something else about you.
I have nothing more to drag out.
You admit all this, then?
I do not. God, dear, oh dear. When you've got friends and neighbours, you're the richest man in town. I am completely unsullied. I've always led a good, clean, honest, boring life. And it comes most hard when you get this sort of muck laid at your doorstep. I shall go along and see the editor of this rag and demand that he prints a complete denial of this article. And if he doesn't, I shall sue.
Well done. Hey, Tub, before you go.
Yes?
What's the phone number?
Oh! Miss Pugh, get that gas poker straightened out, will you?
Here you are, mate. Blabbermouth Building. There'll be 6 and 9.
Never 6 and 9, indeed. I'm not paying that. It's only a mile and a half.
Yeah, but we come a long way round, so I could wave to my girl. You saw her?
Oh, the one mending the boots in the shop window.
Yeah.
Very nice, too. I bet she can hold a few hundred tacks in that mouth, eh?
She holds the All England record for rubber soles.
Really, how very uninteresting.
Yeah. 36.4 seconds from ripping off to nailing on. Without Blakey's, of course.
Oh, understood, understood. Yes. You can't ask more than that in a prospective wife, can you?
Yeah, not these days.
Exactly. But I'm still not paying 6 and 9 to subsidise your love life. You wave and carry on in your own time, mate.
You've got to pay your fare, 6 and 9 plus 6 pence surcharge for every additional passenger.
But there's only me.
And me?
I'm not paying for you, you're the driver.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll knock it off then. We'll call it 6 and 9.
We'll call it 3 bob.
No, mate, no. No, I'm obliged by law to charge you what's on a clock.
Your clock's fast. I'm not paying you 6 and 9 pence. Here, 3 shillings and tuppence for yourself.
Oh, you mad fool. Well, I hope I don't get you again. You can walk next time.
I will, don't worry.
You do.
I'm going to.
You can.
I will.
Yes.
Now then.
And when you worn your boots out, don't forget Gladys in the shop window. Very reasonable she is. 15 and 6, rubber all over with quarter tips.
Sounds a bargain. I shall tell all my friends. Now, do you mind unlocking the door and letting me out?
All right, 6 and 9 pence, please.
Oh, here you are.
Oh, thank you. Clinch it in note. 6 and 9 from Tim Bob, it's 1 and 6 change.
Is it?
Well, it is if you want the door unlocked.
Oh, you're a rogue.
Yeah, that's right. Well, cheerio then, mate. Nice to have driven you. Here, would you like me to call back for you when you finish your business, like?
No.
Oh, well, no hard feelings then.
Yes, 8 and 6 pence worth.
Well, if money's your god, I'm going.
Taxi! I say taxi!
Come in, sir. Another mug. George Stelio! George!
Revolting. Quite revolting. Money mad. Some people do anything for money. No principles at all. We're becoming a nation of twisters. Which reminds me, I'd better get off the street before he has a close look at that 10 bob note. Where are we? Yes, inquiries, yes.
Yes?
I wish to speak to the editor.
Now, don't tell me. We've written something about you and you're going to sue.
I am indeed.
I knew it, I knew it. Oh, yes. You look wonderful material. Very debauched.
I am not a cleaner living lad. Never stepped foot in this building.
Touchy, aren't we? Let me see now. You want to sue us. Now, which are you? What have we published this week? Oh, yes. A very good edition, this one. Are you what went on in the back row of the cinema?
No, I am not. I am Mabel Under the Table, page 11.
Ooh, yes. You're the best one in this week. You realize that, don't you? Some of it made me blush.
And you're used to it.
Exactly.
So you can see why I'm perturbed. Distressed is more the word. My mother has left me.
Oh, how touching. How terribly moving. A man's best friend is his mother. It's enough to kill you. My dear chap, my heart goes out to you. If there's anything I can do, just say so.
Let me speak to the editor.
Of course, you poor, poor man. Motherless, what have we done?
It's not what we've done, it's what you've said that I've done that worries me. Now, the editor, please.
Certainly. Go straight in through the door marked boiler room.
Boiler room?
Just a precaution. We get so many people threatening to do him, we thought a little strategy was called for.
Harry Wise, you'd be most helpful, thank you.
Pleasure. I do hope your mother comes back.
I don't. I've been trying to get rid of her for years.
Now, don't be frightened. Go straight in.
Yes, I will.
Stand back or I'll shoot.
Who's that? Where are you?
Never mind where I am. I can see you. Put your hands on top of your head, place your legs apart, and lean your face up against the wall. You know, like I make you do in a highway patrol.
Oh, yes, I know. Then you come up and pat me all over to see if I'm carrying any ironware.
That's it.
Well, hurry up then and go easy by the fourth rib. I'm ticklish.
All right, you're clean. You can turn around now.
Thank you. And I'll have my watch back if you'd... Sid James, I might have known. I thought I recognised that wood alcohol voice of yours. I should have guessed it was someone like you behind this affront to the British sense of fair play.
Don't you talk to me like that, you old reprobate.
I didn't do it, you know that. Why, it's unthinkable. I wouldn't dare risk it, a man in my position. This has completely ruined me for housewife's choice, you realise that. And as for pantomime, that's right out. I don't know how you get away with it.
We move our office every week.
Do you? Well, I feel that I'm within my rights as a citizen to bring this whole sordid affair to the attention of the Director of Public Prosecutions.
When you see him, give him this week's copy and tell him he's 6 months behind any subscriptions.
Yes. I see. Then the Chief of Police might like to take action.
No. He knows if he does, he'll be on the front page of next week's edition. I've got a lovely story hanging over his helmet. Who locked himself in the back of the Black Maria with a policewoman?
The big five?
Yeah, well, I got something on four of them. I'm having the other one followed. Now then, if you want my advice, boy, I'd take out a civil action. Sue me off your own bat. You stand a much better chance that way.
You fancy the idea of a court case, don't you? What are you up to? If I were you, I'd be dead worried.
Look, son, I want you to sue. Everybody sues me.
I don't understand. What if I'm proved innocent? What then?
Nobody will believe you. I think you've got influence at court. Mud always sticks, boy. Every time I have a court case, the circulation goes up another million.
Well, in that case, I won't sue.
You better, boy. You can't do this to me. I'm relying on it.
I'm sorry. I'm taking no action. I refuse to boost your sales.
Okay. Then you leave me no alternative but to give you a preview of what I'm going to print about you next week.
Show me that. Oh, this is going too far. Never been in a Chinese dope den in my life. These photographs are of me in bed at home.
Yeah, well, it looks like a dope den, doesn't it? Then it goes on to tell how you go around Soho coffee bars selling cigarettes at half a crown each, breaking into chemist shops, man with the golden arm was based on your life. Lost weekend was based on your dad's. And the Mr. X mentioned in the recent court case was really you. It's all here.
I'm so glad you haven't mentioned those mad all-night Ludo parties we held on the vicar's lawn.
Now, let me see. Mad all-night Ludo
parties. Oh, stop making notes. Is there nothing your readers won't believe?
No. If I told them Sabrina was Arthur Eskey's mother, they'd believe me.
Well, I don't. Now, the point is, Sid, she's not, is she?
No.
I'm just making sure, because there is a resemblance. Now, the way I read the situation is this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, won't you?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Not a chill.
Right. There are two courses of action left open to me. A, I sue, and even if I win, no one will believe me. Or B, I don't sue, and everyone will still believe it, and you'll print a worse one next week. Am I correct?
Correct.
So, putting it in a nutshell, by and large, taking things all round, all things being equal, so to speak, as it were, I should say it would appear to be a case of whichever door you open, Sid's in first.
Very well put.
Thank you. Therefore, I've decided to fight. Not just to clear my own fair name, but see that your magazines never appear on the railway bookstores of our country again. When I think it's been on exhibition in thousands of shops next to copies of the Radio Times, I go quite weak. I shall engage the finest legal brains in the country to put you and your magazine out of business and thereby making this England a finer place to raise our children.
It had to come.
Oh, so you got kids as well, have you? Now, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Unsupported, I suppose. Starving with their mother. How many have you got? Where's your wife?
That was just a figure of speech.
She had a figure like a peach. He told me, smiling callously.
Oh. Oh, are you?
Yes.
Get the gas poker straightened out, will you?
Hancock versus Blabbermouth Publications Limited. Presiding judge, Lord Chief Justice Nuns.
Good morning. You may sit down. Well, now, what have we here? A civil action on behalf of Mr. Hancock against Blabbermouth Magazine. The charge brought by Mr. Hancock is libel and defamation of character by the defendant Blabbermouth Publications Limited. On what grounds do you base these charges, Mr. Hancock?
Good morning, Judge. Have an apple.
Thank you very much. Granny Smith, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is.
Very nice. Proceed.
In the magazine you have before you, I am the subject of a disgraceful article, every word of which I refute.
Do you? I think this is a Cox's audience.
Your Honor, are we here to discuss the origin of your apple or settle the case? I'm a busy man. I'm due in court 3 at 4 and court 4 at 5.
Of course, we must set the wheels of justice turning. Is this the magazine in question?
Page 11, Your Honor.
Wait a minute. The picture on the front cover is of a young girl in a leopard skin bikini. Is she in the case?
No.
What a pity.
Page 11, Your Honor.
Yes, I'm coming to it. Intimate Secrets of the Stars. I was a cameraman on the 6-5 special. Here's an interesting advertisement. I must buy one of those. Page 11, under the table with Mabel at the Bag of Nuts. Is this you?
Yes, Your Honor.
What a way to conduct yourself. The Greek civilization collapsed through this kind of thing.
He's drunk. It must have been a cider apple. This is why we are gathered here in this freezing cold barn today to exonerate me from these foul charges. And I warn you, if I don't get any justice, I'll have what's left of me apple back. I rest my case.
Mr. Blabbermouth, what have you to say in your defense?
It's true, all of it, and I got witnesses. The head waiter, the band leader, and Mabel herself, that poor, unfortunate girl.
I would like to meet this girl.
So would I, mate.
Call Mabel Biggs.
Call Mabel Biggs.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't be frightened of all these bad men, my dear. I'm here. Now, who wishes to start the questions?
I do.
Proceed.
All right, Mabel, pull your skirt down here, kid. Now then, Mabel, tell us. Do you recognize that fat, depraved maniac over there?
Objection!
He's creating a false impression of me.
Then how would you describe yourself?
Well, a clean-limbed, healthy sort of lad.
Objection overruled.
Oh, yes, I recognize him, all right. That's him. He's the one.
All right, Mabel. All right, dear. Now tell us, my dear, how old are you?
18 on my last birthday.
18? He asked your age, not how many times you've been arrested. Yeah, lad, this is an obvious attempt to gain sympathy. This woman is a hired stooge.
Sit down.
Mabel, I would like you to tell us in your own words what happened when this villain got you back to his lair.
Well, when we arrived at his flat, he put the light out.
And then what happened?
Well, I'd rather not say.
Oh, come, my dear. With the court master here, this evidence. Perhaps you would rather have the rest of the proceedings held in camera.
Oh, you mean on telly? Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Of course, I'd have to have my hair down.
Well, so much for her delicate feelings. Your Honour, it should be clear even to you that this girl is nothing but a sensation seeker, willing to lend her name to any sordid affair for the sake of a few quid. May I call my witness? I'm a desperate man.
You may.
Call Bill Kerr.
That shows you how desperate I am.
Hiya, Tub. Met any more birds lately?
Sit down, you rat. Sit down, rat bag, and answer the questions. Just remember that your bed and your cup of cocoa in dripping at my place are in jeopardy. Now, tell the court how long you've known me.
I have known Tony Hancock for 6 years now, and during that time I have never known him to consort with members of the opposite.
He's reading it.
He's not. How can he be reading it?
You're holding a board up in front of him.
Now, I would like to question the witness myself, Mr. Hancock.
Well, if you insist, though, it won't do much good. He's a bit of an idiot. You have to talk to him like a baby. He's very dense. Be patient with him. I'll probably have to help him a bit.
Now, Mr. Kerr, how many women during this time has Mr. Hancock taken back to his flat?
None, Your Honor.
Yeah, that's right, none.
You see, the poor lad, his reflexes have gone. His old gyro isn't working properly. I have to be at his elbow all day. It's a full-time job. I've devoted my life to him. I don't get any time to chase women, but I'm not complaining. If that's my lot in life, so be it. Continue.
Oh, tragic, tragic. Now, this won't take long. How would you describe Mr. Hancock?
Bill, that. Bill, the gentleman's asking you a question. He's gone again. He's wandering. He's seen something. He's seen something up on the ceiling. Bill? Bill, lad, answer. Shh, quiet. I think he's going to speak.
I have known Tony Hancock for 6 years now, and during that time, I have never known him to consort with all the other people.
Congratulations, Tub. £10,000 damages. Marvellous.
I've cleared my name. That's all to me that matters. My honour is redeemed.
Well, I don't know what to say. I owe you an apology. I misjudged you. Please forgive me. I was wrong.
To err is human, to forgive divine.
Oh, you're too good for this world.
Well, what are you going to do now, Tub?
Leave me. Leave me alone for a while. I need time to think.
Yeah, we understand. It's been a great ordeal for you. Come on, Grizzly. Farewell, old pal.
Goodbye. Oh, hum. Boy, Mabel.
Hello, lovable. They're gone.
Yes, come on.
Well, wait a minute. What about my offer for £10,000?
Not here. Somebody may see. I'll give it to you down at the Bag of Nuts. I booked the usual table.
Under it, you mean, don't you?
Oh, cheeky. Come on, dear. Cab!
That was Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, Kenneth Williams and John Vere. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. The show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton, and the program which was recorded was produced by Tom Ronald.